All right. Hello, hello, everybody. We are back for a exciting fifth episode of Unleashing DUI. Super excited to have our next guest on. Please welcome Miroslav. He is from a company called Heliotix. They are out of Europe, specifically in Slovakia, and they do some really interesting and novel kind of IoT work on top of Helium. So we're going to get in, learn a little bit about your business model, learn about what you guys are doing, what it's like to actually kind of build on top of this decentralized LoRaWAN network, and really get into it. So thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us. I'd love to start off with, can you give us a bit of background about A, who you are, how you got here, and then talk a little bit about your company too.
Yeah. Hi, Tyler. Thanks for having me here. I'm really looking forward to talk more about what Heliotix is doing and also like what are the opportunity inside the DeFi network, Helium. So my background, I'm based in Slovakia, but Slovakia is in part of European Union. So we are somehow evolving in all this ecosystem. But my background is I was studying lean management in a university in Czech Republic. And afterwards, I spent over a decade working in various industries, mostly production sites as a production manager or lean manager. So I was optimizing, I was playing with data. And once Helium kicked in, so it was some kind of like, yeah, let's try that. Let's try deploying all the gateways all around the Slovakia and Czech Republic. And afterwards, it was like another kick in that or idea. Like we have the coverage, and let's try to play with the sensors and let's collect the data, because we all know that without data. And this is also what is happening inside every production, that without data, you cannot optimize, you cannot push the service, you cannot make your services or production processes better. So we somehow start playing with all the sensors, and here we are, Heliotix on the map.
That's incredible. So can you talk me through a little bit about the actual business model of Heliotix and how you operate and how that sort of fits in on top of the Helium network itself?
Yeah. So the business model is, I would say, pretty simple, because you can have any kind of network, but without usage, the network will survive. So that was one of the reasons like we started using Helium network, because we already deployed a couple of gateways. We know that right now it's over 900,000 gateways all around the world, so the coverage is pretty massive. But without the usage, it doesn't really matter. So we started focusing on B2B businesses and also B2C. But right now it's mostly B2B business, and we want to make it, as we said, like it needs to be as easy as my grandma will do it. Because this is also what we somehow find out, like during the period, which is not so long, but Heliotix is here over 1.5 years, and that not everybody knows about IoT. And our statistics tell us that 9 out of 10 people don't know anything about IoT. When you are starting telling them like it's a LoRaWAN, it's not Wi-Fi, so it's LoRaWAN. So like many people, many businesses, they don't know nothing about this technology. So we are some kind of pioneers, and we are trying to tell them more about LoRaWAN, about the advantages, how they can deploy, or how we can help them to track some of the processes and things like that. So we are focusing B2B. The business model is to go and see, also using the experience for previous companies, that every use case we are trying to think about it, like how the sensor and Helium network can help them succeed more better, how they can collect data and afterwards improve the processes, or even how the sensors can bring them more efficient processes. It varies. I mean, the business case, the use case by use case, it could be like different kind of approach to our customer.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I'd imagine, you know, generally speaking, lots of businesses with physical infrastructure footprints care about data and in different capacities that can sort of span from manufacturing and so, or to other use cases. And specifically, one of the things that caught my interest was something your company was doing around dogs and animal wellness around winter conditions. As a matter of fact, that was one of the first articles that actually caught my interest spurred me to learn a little bit more, which is totally different than a manufacturing style IoT business model. Can you talk about that project a little bit and the value specifically that you brought to solving that problem?
With a couple of customers, and they were somehow trying to make the animals more healthy or well-being. And this is really, really nice, interesting use case and really simple one, that you can use any kind of thermometer which runs on a LoRaWAN, and you can place it anywhere because the penetration of LoRaWAN network and the Helium network, which is almost everywhere, as I used to say, it enables this kind of opportunity. So you can place the sensor. We have our own custom built app, which we call Heliotix app, and anybody can see directly on the phone what are the actual conditions, let's say inside the doggy house or inside any kind of stable, etc. And they can even set up alerts. So when the temperature will go down, they are notified via push notification or text message. So this is some kind of service we are providing. And this Heliotix app, what we have, so it works already with over 20 of sensors. And you can have multiple brands, multiple type of sensors inside one app, and it's working flawlessly. So it's the thing, as I said, that we want to make it as easy as possible for anybody to use the Helium network. We have a couple of also industrial ones, so I can get through. I mean, industrial one use cases. So we have lots of partnerships with companies. This is probably like where Helium really, really makes sense. It's to create scalable business all around the country or all around Europe or all around the world, that you don't have to care about like if there is connection, because almost everywhere is connection. If there is no connection, we can create it really easily. And for really lower cost as let's say standard ISP or any other operator. And we approached customers who already are producing some kind of products. So for example, we have partnership with company who is producing diesel tanks. So they have like, just imagine really big diesel tanks. They are used all around the country in agriculture fields. They're using it, let's say, for tanking to some agricultural machines, tractors, etc. And we just approach that company who already has lots of customers, lots of deployments. And we offer them like custom-made solution that we install for you the sensor inside. You can get this kind of service to your customers. So before, just imagine like first deployment, we just went to a really big company, like agriculture one. It was like, yeah, how we are checking right now the state. Yeah, we are using wooden stick. So just imagine, you know, like going day by day somewhere, freezing, sunny, whatever. And you are just using wooden stick and you are just checking the level. And sometimes someday you forgot. And afterwards, like you are missing the diesel or petrol, which needs to be used for your agriculture machines. So we are installing these kind of devices, and they have mobile app. They can set up all the alerts. So when the level of the diesel it's down, so they are already notified. But another thing which this solution brings, they can play with data. So they have like all the statistics in some time. They can evaluate, okay, so let's make it regular because our consumption is so and so, or according to the season. And they can set up, they can probably save the money because they will make some contract with the company who is providing diesel. So this is one of the solutions what we are doing, and it's like pretty scalable because it can go almost everywhere, and we are using Helium network. Also another partnership, and it's company who is producing underground containers, like waste containers. So all types of containers. And this is what we already announced last week. Because we are preparing that one for almost 6 months and testing. Wow. And doing some pilots. But since last week, there is already first city with waste management system by Heliotix called Vastum, which is running completely on Helium. And there is also one advantage, like for municipalities, definitely, because the not every city or the city doesn't have to create the coverage, you know, for this kind of thing. So the initial costs, they are much more lower, as they will go to some private company. I will go, yeah, we need LoRaWAN network, private one. They will charge them like thousands of euros. So
wow.
So this is like another really, really nice use case. And this is scalable because one city already, we are in talks with other cities in Slovakia. Possibly next week, we are going to Poland to talk directly with similar company. They are doing same stuff, but they are deploying all around Poland and France, Germany, etc. So this is some kind of solution which is pretty scalable, and it can be used almost everywhere on the Helium network.
You have customers approaching you, what's the initial interest? Is it having sensors where it was otherwise challenging to be able to deploy? Is it a lower cost? Is it the potential for, you know, data and sort of data analytics that comes as a result of being able to collect this information? What's, if you, you know, to think of like a top of the funnel, what's getting people interested in your solution specifically?
Right now, we are not at a stage that the customer will go and approach us by ourselves. 9 out of 10 people, they don't know anything about IoT and not even LoRaWAN. So we are trying to use our sales channels or contacts, and we are somehow moving like company by company. We are choosing some of them, and every time I think the scenario is the same. So we go there. We explain like how it's working, what's even IoT. We already have like a couple of sensors and some idea, like when we are going to some company, that what sensors and what use cases they can fit. So we explain, it's suddenly like really big headache by them, because it's like lots of information they need to process. And after some time, they are coming back to us. We have no problem to, let's say, give a couple of sensors, like just give it a try, you know, like there you go, simple app. If you want to, we can make like custom dashboard for you. But this is just like they will feel it, you know, like they will touch the sensors, they can place it anywhere, they can play with it, they can see what data are coming, how they can process. And afterwards is like another stage that they are going for more sensors. So it's more about this. And it's getting more and more, but the runway with this kind of industry is really long. I'm not talking municipalities, because this is a different story, because they need to have like all the things approved and budgeted like in advance, but normal private businesses, every time it's the same story. So yeah, we have this kind of idea, but we need to try, and afterwards we will come back to you. So nobody will go right now, yeah, let's do 10,000 sensors. So
sure.
We are in early stage, I would say, like of IoT industrial revolution or how I will say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that I totally makes sense in terms of just the cycle of understanding and adoption. And there's kind of a long tail that we have yet to get to. When you're having conversations with these businesses, and the thing that I love about sort of DY is that it is the confluence of a lot of different innovations. There's a crypto component, there's, you know, the sort of the tokenomics. When you're having conversations with businesses, are some of those things that inevitably fold into the conversation, are they the stumbling blocks that make it hard for people to wrap their minds around? Obviously, being a deployer on top of the network, you can probably abstract some of those things away. But how are customers that you're interfacing with digesting those somewhat different contentious aspects of how this whole thing fits together?
Yeah, it also depends on customer, how to put it like really nicely, that not everybody is in the same level of understanding. You know, like younger guys, they probably understand more the technology as the older guys, but it doesn't mean that the older guys will not get it. But let's say the first touch meeting, I think like the LoRaWAN itself, it's like pretty big news to them. So what we are trying to do, and I will repeat that, we want to make that usage as simple as possible. And we are covering like all the process behind, I mean, like all the blockchain stuff, like the customer doesn't need to know about it. they are asking about coverage, and once we like show Explorer Helium, so they're like, yes, they are like really impressed. And once I like tell them that one happened in 2 years, nobody could believe it. So, but this is the power of decentralization, you know, about this kind of model, which let's say Helium was the first project in, that you use the people's strength, you know, like everybody can participate and have some share in all the success. So we are not pointing out with customers the blockchain stuff, because LoRaWAN, you know, it's mind blowing for them. And right now, like if I will start with blockchain, so they will get completely lost. So it's some kind of like slowly. Like yesterday, I met a company and we start talking. They were interested in some use cases, and like suddenly, like I started explaining like how it's working, etc. And I mentioned Helium Network, and it was like, Helium Network? I have some miner. You know, so is mining. This is like another point. Like many people, they just jump in just to make like money out of it.
Sure.
But not so many people knew how to use that network. And this is also some kind of our dedication, or how to say that we are trying to, even when we are in conferences, try to explain like how Helium concept is working and how it can be used. So these are like our experiences with all kinds of stuff like that.
That's so cool. It's always fun when you get someone that is a little bit more sort of in the fold of what's going on than your just typical customer who doesn't really care. It's just more of a solution for them.
I will say, like, I think I used it somewhere in some interview that we are not selling socks, you know, like, because everybody knows socks and you will just go, yeah, I have different type of material socks, but everybody knows how to use the socks. We are selling something which small portion of people knew how it's working, so therefore it's like complete new technology. And if you look behind on statistics, let's say transition from 3G to 4G, it took like 7 years, you know, and it was already like people knew that it's still mobile cellular network, you know, and it still took 7 years. And that one is like, yeah, LoRaWAN is here over 80 years, but still the marketing and the usages, it's still not there. We are still in the beginning, still like pioneers.
It was 100%. It's funny because when I first started getting interested in Helium, there was a big disconnect between LoRaWAN, and I was just assuming it was, you know, some other kind of ubiquitous standard of protocol that is like Wi-Fi or something else. And so there was this uncomfortable aha moment after researching and realizing that, oh, this is totally different than what everybody thinks of in terms of, call it, communication protocols. And so from that standpoint, there is a huge education component that has to happen for those that are caring about how this works, but more importantly, the big differentiator and the fact that because it is LoRaWAN that unlocks these capabilities that you don't have with these other sort of, call them, short range protocols that aren't as robust in terms of their feature set. So can you talk about how LoRaWAN itself really enables you to do things at the business level that would be incapable or not possible with other approaches?
Yeah, I will use that with the use cases we are already running. I talk about partnerships. So another partnership is with company who is installing water meters. So in apartment buildings, this is like perfect use case for LoRaWAN and even for Helium. So let's say that you have remote reading of water meters in every apartment. And this is like huge thing happening right now in Europe, because by 2027, there is European Union directive that the data from energy meters must be collected at least one time per month. Right now it's like one time per year. So it's like 12 times more. And right now there are several types of collection of data. So somebody like the owner is knocking on your door, he's writing down your consumption every year, or they are like wireless MBUS stuff that the people, like companies, they installed some water meters and they are running with the laptop all around the apartment buildings and collecting data. But once you have to do it like every month, summer, freezing, whatever, winter, so it's getting hard. And we have right now over 1,000 water meters in two Slovak cities which are used for these remote readings. And just imagine like apartment building with 8 floors, 8 entrances, so really, really big one. And you just need one LoRa gateway inside, you know, and that's it. So the penetration is really huge, and it will probably cover another apartment building where we don't have right now anything. But this is the power of LoRaWAN. So it can penetrate through big walls, thick walls. It can go even to the cellars. We have one customer who is producing the plastic underground cellars. So let's say, just imagine you have a house and you just dig a hole next to your house. You put the plastic cellar inside, you cover it, and you can go. And we are using CO2 monitoring or temperature humidity monitoring just with these plastic cellars. So the customers, they have this cellar and they are storing there from guns to clothing or some vegetables. So they have like complete overview of what's happening inside with anything which can harm the things they are storing. So this is the power of LoRaWAN. Another one, we have customer near like in Czech Republic, and they're like construction building company, and they are like building house, you know, and it's like 20 kilometers away from the closest gateway. And they have motion sensors, like because of the thefts that are happening in these construction sites. So they have motion sensors, and just imagine like 20 kilometers away, something happens, three seconds, and they have text message. It's crazy. So this is the power of LoRaWAN. And this is the power of Helium, because anytime you want to deploy one or two or five sensors, so you don't have to buy any kind of special infrastructure. You just have to have a simple app, which we already have, and just connect sensor. And we are working with several suppliers all around the world. We already tested like almost every sensor, which is for us the best fit, which we evaluated. So right now, when we are going to customer, so we can directly tell them this is the best sensor you can use for your use case. So yeah,
that's so cool.
Like in short, this is the power of LoRaWAN.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, clearly there's such a applicable use case for it, and it's solving real problems today that there's not a viable alternative. So when you sort of power the ability to actually have a robust network by bringing people in to have this incentivized aspect for them to build out that robustness is really, really compelling. So you've talked about a couple of the use cases that you're specifically building or deploying with. What are other, call it, future use cases that you're excited about, interested in, that you think will be sort of another pivotal moment for Helium, LoRaWAN, and then your project itself?
Yeah, what I already told, it's not only use cases what we are solving, but for example, right now the electricity issue, I mean, especially in the industrial companies, and we are right now preparing for some of the deployments for injection molding production, where they want to track like every injection machine, and to collect the data like the consumption by each project, etc., etc. The LoRaWAN power is that I don't need to care about Wi-Fi if there is connection. If you look on that, like every device which is on Wi-Fi, the lifetime of battery, if it's battery powered, it's not so long compared to LoRaWAN. So that one, we connect by like easily with electrician the sensors, and they are ready to go, ready to transmit data on the daily, hourly, 30 minutes base. What is the consumption of every machine? So this is another project which is really, I think, kicking in all Europe, because electricity is a big issue right now because of all the things they happened. And I think today is the one year after the invasion. So this is like a use case which can be really easily deployable. But when we are talking Helium power, so I think like all the use cases, they are on the move. You know, like you don't need to use any cellular or anything like that. It's roaming free. So we already have right now one really interesting use case. We already tested with a logistic company and with their fleet, and it's running well. So we are securing the locks of the trucks, of the semi trucks. So
really?
once because there is like lots of thefts, it's like billions of dollars, they it's like stolen from the trucks, I mean the cargo, and we install the sensors. I will not tell you what sensor and where, because this is some kind of security stuff.
Of course.
And this is pretty scalable because the trucks, they are traveling all across the Europe. When they stop, they are not stopping. They're stopping in, let's say, on frequent places where 90% the coverage is there. So every time somebody opens the doors, so the driver or even the guy, the owner or somebody who is managing this fleet gets informed and can do something about it, you know? So this is pretty nice thing. Right now I'm really impressed about the US company. It's called Nanothings, and they have this product Nanotech, and it's like label which is already like helium powered. So you just can stick on anything and you're good to go and you are tracked. And they're using triangulation from Helium Network. It's not even GPS. So these are things I think they will evolve in some time. And I'm looking like almost every logistic company will use Helium like in the future. Because it makes sense.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. That's awesome. I'm super excited about the prospects of I haven't actually ever shared this, but I first heard about not Helium itself, but a similar kind of project trying to do something with long range Wi-Fi back in maybe 2016 or 2017. At first, it sounded like such a scam approach, right? It seems like, well, why would you pay people in crypto to have Wi-Fi? That didn't make sense. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, oh, that's actually the perfect sort of incentive mechanism for being able to deploy physical infrastructure at scale to build this network. And so it's incredible from going from thinking this is kind of a scammy, silly use case to saying, oh my gosh, this is really actually changing the way that one really important layer of the business stack is getting implemented, and seeing you be a pioneer of enabling that to happen is just so cool. So in closing, people that are interested in both what you're doing as well as just how the industry is going to continue progressing, what are resources or things that people should be paying attention to, looking at, staying involved in, so that they can track and know where the tides are going, if you will, in terms of the space?
It's a really hard question because, you know, like you can find the resources about LoRaWAN and about all the sensors, like just typing LoRaWAN sensor in the Google or even right now the ChatGPT, this is like pretty popular. So I think like this guy can help you almost with everything, but it's not a problem that they will follow us or even if they will be interested for some kind of cooperation. We are happy to help, happy to explain. This is some kind of our dedication, you know, like we know that it's really hard to start with something, that the resources are really not so strong, and we are happy to help with like if anybody would like to start or even tried any kind of sensor. We are on Twitter, we are on LinkedIn, so they can approach us anywhere. And I think, you know, like in Twitter, sorry, there is lots of things happening and lots of information they can use. So just for start, and it will kick them afterwards somewhere else. Yeah,
that's perfect. Well, we'll be sure to link all that down below. We'll be sure to link your website as well as Twitter, and be sure to get that shared out for folks that are interested and that they want to learn more. But Miroslav, this was an awesome. Yeah, this is awesome. I'm super fascinated about real applications and businesses being built upon this decentralized network. It really goes to show the power, the robustness, and actually the utility of it. So we wanted to thank you so much again. We'll be sure to link that down in the description so that if folks want to go and learn more, they can absolutely do that. And we'll wrap it up there. Thank you again. Anything else you want to leave for final notes, final thoughts?
I will just say that thank you for having me again. And it was a pleasure to speak about IoT stuff, because I think we need more this kind of information that everybody will know almost everything about it. So
I fully agree. Well, we're happy to have the conversation. We look forward to the next one. All right. Well, thanks so much, everybody. Tune in. Be sure to subscribe, like, comment below. And we'll see everyone on the next one. Thank you.